we thank you so much, choir, and thank you, Patsy. And I hope you're having a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And I'm reading this morning from Psalm 33:12 and then Proverbs 14:34. Psalm 33, we read, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." And in Proverbs 14:34, we read, "The righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people." I've discovered recently that the history of Memorial Day is not a settled matter. Some say it was first observed on May 30th, 1868, on the orders of John Alexander Logan for the purpose of decorating the graves of American Civil War dead. However, the practice of decorating soldiers' graves with flowers is an ancient custom. And we know that the graves of soldiers were decorated in the United States before and during the Civil War. In any event, since 1971, Memorial Day has been observed on the last Monday of May in honor of those service men and women killed in a time of war. I dare say that for most Americans, Memorial Day is simply a holiday, a day off from work, a day of family outings, trips to the beach, trips to the malls, cookouts in the backyards. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But in addition to those things, I would suggest to you some other things that we can do, that we need to do, to make Memorial Day a more meaningful experience in our lives and in the life of our nation. To that end, on this Memorial Day, let us pause and remember with gratitude those men and women who have made the supreme sacrifice in the service of our country. One of the most famous pictures from World War II must surely be that photograph of five Marines raising the American flag on the island of Iwo Jima. The young man in the center of that photograph was John Bradley. After the war, Bradley moved back to Antigua, Wisconsin. He married his high school sweetheart. He raised his family. Bradley won the Navy Cross for saving a fellow soldier's life. But he preferred not to talk about the war, and he absolutely refused to accept the hero status that other people wanted to place on him. One of the few comments Bradley ever made about the war, he made to his young son, James. In response to James's remark about heroism, Bradley replied, "The heroes of Iwo Jima are the guys who never came back." Let us remember those who did not come back, as Abraham Lincoln said in his Gettysburg Address, gave the last full measure of devotion. Since World War I, nearly 700,000 Americans have given their lives in war. And you will find their names on a black marble wall in Washington, D.C., at Arlington National Cemetery, and at Normandy, and at graveyards around the world. And if you consider all of the wars from the Revolutionary War on down to our day, 1.4 million Americans have given their lives in the service of our nation. Edward Grinnan writes, "My sister and brother sent me a fascinating item from our family history. It was a letter to Mrs. Sarah A. Daly, my father's aunt, dated November 19, 1919, from a U.S. Army chaplain expressing condolences for the death of her son. The chaplain wrote, 'I'm so sorry we could do nothing to heal his poor, maimed body.' But it was otherwise decreed. He went on to say that Leonard was a beautiful boy who won the hearts of all of us with his bravery. He congratulated Mrs. Daly on having such a fine son who did his full duty. He concluded the 3-page type letter by assuring Mrs. Daly that he prayed with Leonard until the moment of his death, and describes the gentle French hillside where her son was laid to rest. 'My hands were still shaking,' said Grinnan, 'when I finished reading. How many such letters were written by chaplains to families through the years, through the centuries. The events happened decades before I came into the world, yet I could not help feeling both heartbroken and proud. A tiny echo of what Leonard's mother must have felt. A soldier once said, war is not hell, it is the gates of hell. Memorial Day, he said, is when we remember those who have fallen at those gates. We call it a holiday, but it really feels more like a day of collective mourning, a day when we grieve those beautiful boys and young women who made a sacrifice that can never really be repaid. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Eric Ritz asked the question, what kind of love would give itself up for another? What kind of love would be willing to die for you and me? It is certainly greater than mere human love. It is the love that Jesus demonstrated to show us how much we mean to God. It is the love we celebrate today in the sacrifices of those men and women who gave their lives for our freedom. On this Memorial Day, let us be sure to pause and remember with deep, deep gratitude. And on this Memorial Day, let us pause and pray for this nation of ours. Let this Memorial Day be the beginning of a renewed commitment to pray for our country. For America is in trouble today, politically. There is so much rancor and bitterness and division in our nation today, and in my opinion, our leaders in Washington are leading the way in this. They are setting the tone for the rest of us, from the president on down to the members of Congress and local leaders everywhere, and in my opinion, the partisanship and bickering and anger and accusation and condemnation is a threat to our democracy. And it is a slap in the face of those men and women who gave their lives to preserve our freedom. Well, what can we do about it? Well, I suppose we can vote them out of office. But unless you and I are willing to pray for those who take their place, don't expect anything to change. And don't expect anything to get done. couple of weeks ago, I was talking with a lady who for a number of years has been a leader in the Democratic Party. I know her very well, and I was joking with her, and I said, "Well, I know you must have voted for Donald Trump in the last election." And she smiled at me and said, "No. But he is my president, and I pray for him every day." We need to follow that lady's lead. For we are failing our president, we are failing our members of Congress, and we are failing in our responsibility under God if we do not pray for our leaders. It was a chaplain in the U.S. Senate who said, "Public officials are always in the news, and whatever our political convictions, we ought to pray for them more than ever if they are in trouble. After all, praying for those in government is not optional. We are mandated by the Word of God to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. If government is of the people, by the people, and for the people have a profound obligation to pray." And then he said this, "It is conceivable that a failure of government can be laid as much at the feet of prayerless citizens as to incompetent or corrupt public servants." We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our leaders. What are we to pray? Born in 1819, Joshua Gilbert Holland was an American novelist and poet. He wrote a poem entitled, "God Give Us Men," but it's really a prayer. It's a prayer for our nation. It's a prayer for you and me. And it's a prayer for our present and our future leaders. Here's what he said: "God, give us men. A time like this demands strong minds, great hearts, true faith, and ready hands. Men whom the lust of office does not kill. Men whom the spoils of office cannot buy. Men who possess opinions and a will. Men who have honor. Men who will not lie, tall men, sun-crowned, who live above the fog in public duty and in private thinking. For while the rabble with their thumb-worn creeds, their large professions and their little deeds mingle in selfish strife, freedom weeps, wrong rules the land, and waiting justice sleeps. God, give us men and women like that to emerge among us, to lead us." And on this Memorial Day, let us pause and pray for this nation of ours. Let this Memorial Day be the beginning of a renewed commitment to pray for our country, for America is in trouble today spiritually. In my opinion, we have been and we are now in spiritual decline. We have "In God We Trust" engraved on our currency, but not on our hearts as a people. In the early 1830s, a French diplomat, political scientist, and historian by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville came to America to examine our civil institutions. His studies were spelled out in his classic work, Democracy in America. In it he wrote, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless prairies, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. In America today, we have forgotten the wise counsel of De Kuyper. And more importantly, we seem to have forgotten the God who created us and has blessed us as a nation. For in America today, the vast majority no longer worship the God of our forefathers. In America today, sin and selfishness and dishonesty and immorality are looked upon as being of no consequence whatsoever. And in America today, power and pleasure and wealth have been elevated to godlike status. Jeremiah describes such a people saying they go from one sin to another. They do not acknowledge me, declares the Lord. We need to come back to our spiritual roots as a people. We need to get our hearts right with God as a people. In the latter half of 1862, the Civil War was not going well. In August, the outmanned Confederates defeated Union soldiers at the Second Battle of Bull Run, sending the Union Army retreating to Washington. 18 days later, the Confederates were stopped at Antietam. In the bloodiest day in United States military history, 26,000 were dead, wounded, or missing. Then in December, 12,653 Union soldiers were lost in the defeat at Fredericksburg, Virginia. Abraham Lincoln, seeking peace in the land, appears to have understood the way to find peace in our hearts as well. In March 1863, he issued a proclamation designating a day of national humiliation and fasting and prayer. And in making his proclamation, I believe Lincoln spoke like a prophet to our day. Here's what he said. We've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of hearts that all of these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming, preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then, said Lincoln, to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. We need to come back to our spiritual roots. We need to get our hearts right with God. Only a righteous people can exalt a nation. Only a righteous people can make America great and keep it strong and secure. And on this Memorial Day, may we hear and heed the call of God to the nations, to our nation, and to you and me. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need a turning in America today. Let us not be like ancient Israel, who when the word of the Lord came to them, they scoffed at it, saying, "Give us no more visions of what is right. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Tell us pleasant things. We need a turning in America. For God has said, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Pray for that turning. Pray for our nation. And may God bless America. Our hymn of invitation this morning, 275, I Surrender All. And I extend to you the invitation to come, to accept Christ, to unite with His church, to commit yourself, to be that man, that woman of prayer for our nation as we stand.